much. So thank you, first of all, to the organizers for giving me the possibility to come here and present some recent research, which is based on joint work with my colleagues from Berlin, namely Benedikt Janel, Paul Kieler, and Robert Patterson. So let me start right away by showing you a picture of the model that we are investigating, which is a very, very simple network model. So we have, on the one hand, a homogeneous Poisson point process of transmitters, and then, independently of that, we have a homogeneous Poisson point process of receivers. And now what we do is we draw an edge from a transmitter to a receiver if and only if the SIR value is larger than a certain threshold. And now, so we have this simple network model, we can put simple restrictions on this model. For instance, we say at most 10% of the transmitters may be isolated in the graph theoretic sense, so that they do not have any edges emanating from them. And so if you now have such a condition and you want to satisfy this on average, so then we have already heard what we can do. We can put an extra transmitter at the origin, and then we can try to tune the model parameters in such a way that the probability of being isolated is less than 10%, and then if we consider a growing domain, the ergodic theory tells us that the probability of actually observing a proportion of transmitters larger than 10% that is isolated will tend to zero. But the issue is, in this ergodic theory, is that you don't have a rate of convergence. So if you have a bounded domain and you want to be certain with 95% that you have at most 10% isolated transmitters, then this ergodic theory alone will not be sufficient to answer this question. And so luckily there's now some mathematical theory which deals or tries to quantify, at least to a certain extent, the probability of deviating substantially from this ergodic limit. And this is just the theory of large deviations. And what I want to do in this talk is I want to try to convince you that this mathematical theory can also be applied in the context of wireless networks. And in particular, we will see that the probability of seeing certain unlikely configurations will tend to zero actually at an exponential speed. So let me go briefly through the model. So I've already said the most important thing. So we have a homogeneous Poisson point process of transmitters and a homogeneous Poisson point process of receivers, and they are independent, and the communication is modeled within this classical SINR framework. So let me just go through that quickly. So on the top we have the signal strings, which consists of the transmission power. Then we have the fading effect and the path loss function. And in the bottom, we have the thermal noise and then the contributions that come from the other, the interference that comes from the other transmitters. So let me just add a few words on the assumptions that we make here. So W is just assumed to be constant and non-random in our model. Then the path loss function is a power law path loss function where we remove the singularity at the origin. The transmission powers are assumed to be IID, and so is the fading field. So in some sense, we consider here only the fast fading. And we have two further technical conditions on these fading variables, namely the support of the fading variables should be bounded. And on the other hand, if we consider the inverse of these fading variables, then the distribution function should be globally Lipschitz. So these are technical conditions that we need, but many distributions can at least be approximated by random variables with these properties. Okay, so now let me move on to the first large deviation principle, which is a large deviation principle for connectable receivers in a large domain. So what do I mean by that? So to each transmitter XI, we associate a certain set of reachable or connectable receivers YI, and these are just those ones to which an edge was drawn in the picture that I showed in the beginning. So these are those yj such that the SINR from xi to yj is larger than tau. And so this is, first of all, an abstract definition, but we have at least certain potential applications in mind where this could be useful. For instance, in D2D networks, if transmitters send directly to receivers without going via some base station, or also if we consider multi-hop networks, then this edge from the transmitter to the receiver could be seen as the first step in a possibly longer multi-hop route. And now, what kind of result do we get here? So we will obtain an exponential decay of the probability that an untypically large proportion of transmitters is frustrated or suffers from some frustration event, where this frustration event can, mathematically speaking, be actually any event that can be encoded with these connectable receivers. But let me just give you a few examples for that to connect with what I've said in the beginning. So the most prominent example is maybe the example of isolation. So if the connectable receivers are actually the empty set, then this means that the transmitter is isolated. So this is certainly something that we want to avoid. Some other examples, maybe not as bad as being isolated but still not desirable, is if I have only one possible choice where I can send data at an acceptable rate. And then maybe of interest in a multi-hop setting could be the third example. If all the connectable receivers are actually very closely to the located closely to the transmitter, then it means I can only do very short hops, and this might also be undesirable. So these are the kinds of events that we can consider and can describe with the large deviation principle. And mathematically speaking, what we can do, we can consider averages over transmitters in a large domain. So this is mathematically precisely put in this notion of the empirical measure of the connectable receivers. And, I mean, this is a complicated object, but it encodes some very important information. So, for instance, if I evaluate this empirical measure at the singleton, which consists of the empty set, then what I get out is just the spatially averaged proportion of all isolated transmitters in my large box. And so we will show a large deviation principle for this empirical measure, and we will need two further notions of two further concepts. First of all, the concept of the Pallmark measure of the connectable receivers. So I've said in the beginning that we consider a Poisson setting, but just by, if we want to even only consider Poisson setting in the large deviation principle, also non-Poissonian transmitters and receivers will appear. And then we have here this Pallmark measure, which is in our case not normalized. And then we will also need the concept of specific relative entropy or Kalberg-Leibler distance of two stationary point processes, which is basically you do the following. So you restrict your point processes to a bounded box. Then you take the ordinary Kalberg-Leibler distance, and then you need to normalize by the volume of the box and then perform the limit. So here's now this large deviation principle. It's a large deviation principle for this empirical measures in the tau topology with the following rate function. And this is, of course, a complicated mathematical language, but roughly speaking, what this means is that the probability that this empirical measure is contained in a certain set F or has some property F, if it decays to zero, then it will decay to zero exponentially fast in the sense that here we have this volume of the box size and here we have the infimum of the rate function over the set F. And just some comments are important here. So first of all, this tau topology is not so common outside large deviation theory. So it's a topology that is generated by all evaluations at Borel sets. And this is kind of, yeah, the topology is, it would take me a little longer to explain why this topology is useful, but in some sense, if you have a stronger topology, then you can answer also stronger questions later, and this tall topology is stronger than the weak topology, for instance. Then this is also not the first large deviation principle that appears has been used for wireless networks. So Garnish and Teresi, they have considered a large deviation principle for the interference at the origin. But their result is different to ours, and also the proof is quite different, because our proof is based on a level 3 large deviation principle for the Poisson prime process, which goes back to Georgi and Cecine. So now I want to go on to the second large deviation principle, which is of a quite different flavor. So here we do not consider averages over a large box, but we put an additional distinguished transmitter at the origin and then let the SINR threshold tend to zero. So what I mean is this, we have the set Y tor, so the connectable receivers to the origin, and now we consider the limit tor to zero. This means this condition gets weaker and we get many, so this set Y tor grows larger. So just here's an illustration for this. Here you have these red and blue dots, and now if you consider the connectable receivers, this can be a quite large set. And the second large deviation principle will be about considering this guy here as a random counting measure and then performing the limit tor to zero. So more precisely, we need to do some rescaling here. First, so at the end, we want to have a measure which lives on the Borel sigma algebra on the unit cube. And so what we need to do, if we have such a Borel set, we rescale this by tor to the minus 1 over alpha, so the set is blown up. Then we count how many connectable transmitters we have here. This will be a large integer, and to get some reasonable limit out, we need to bring this down again, and this needs to be done with this coefficient tor to the d over alpha. And yeah, then we again get some rate function out there. But probably I won't be more specific about this, but rather try to give you an idea about a way where you can apply this result, namely if you want to actually compute the probability that the origin is isolated. So if the SINR threshold tends to zero, this should also tend to zero. And in fact, what we see is that it tends to zero at an exponential speed in this tor to the d over alpha. And we cannot only see that it tends to zero at an exponential speed, but we also have an expression for the coefficient in this exponential speed, which is this rather lengthy expression. So it is a variational characterization. But the downside is, of course, is that this variational characterization is very, very intractable. So we have here to perform an infimum over all stationary point processes. There are, of course, quite a few of them. But still, there are some things that we can extract from this representation. So first of all, we can try to get an approximate solution or an approximate answer if we only restrict to the very special case of Poisson point processes. And now in the last two or three slides, I want to show that this approximation can actually be useful to deduce important sampling algorithms. So let me go to this important sampling idea, which is basically an idea how to use this large deviation theory to get more accurate estimates for rare event probabilities, such as probability of being isolated. So in general, the issue in estimating rare event probabilities is that if you want to do this by Monte Carlo simulation, you have these events which occur so rarely, you need to perform a large number of simulations in order to get a halfway accurate answer. And the idea, so this is a general problem in a Monte Carlo simulation, and one attempt to solve or to alleviate the situation is by using important sampling, which basically says you do not simulate with the true probability measure, but with a different probability measure where this rare event occurs more like or is more likely, so that you have a larger sample size where you can do the average. If you do this, then you will of course get a wrong answer, but you can correct this answer if you do in the, or add in this averaging procedure the right likelihood ratios. And the question is then, what are good choices for this choice of for this change of measures? And the heuristic is that here the optimal choice of measures, change of measure, would be the conditional distribution under the rare event. The problem is that, let's start with the good thing. The good thing is that in large deviation theory, if you consider the minimizers of the rate function, these also have the interpretation of as being the measures under which the rare event occurs with the highest probability, so to speak. So so that suggests that we should choose for these optimal Qs just the minimizers of the rate function. But the problem is, as I've said before, is that we cannot, or this optimization problem is intractable, but still what we can try is get an approximate answer by choosing not from the full set of stationary point processes, but for each y, we just choose a Poisson point process, a stationary Poisson point process with the optimal intensity. So that means for each y, we have one intensity, and in the end, this will this suggests to use an inhomogeneous Poisson point process. And if we perform this optimization, we get a Poisson point process with an intensity that is radially symmetric. And in terms of the radius, it has the following shape. Now, if we perform this important sampling with this change of measure, we get, we see that it works, so you cannot be sure that it works, so you have to try it, but in our case it works, and it gives a variance reduction of your estimate of 80%. And that's it. Thank you very much for your attention.
My question is about this assumption on the bounded support of the fading.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I get it correctly, it means that actually in the second model you will get only points in the ball if there is thermal noise which is gone, which can make it. Powers, both powers and fading are bounded support, right?
Yeah.
So you can't make it to if thermal noise is fixed.
You can't make it infinitely large.
Infinitely far.
That's important. Yeah, that's an important point, that our results really need that this W exists and is positive.
Okay.
So if we have no noise, then this breaks down.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it means that, I mean, so it's not necessarily the case that there are that many points in that ball, so that's why I'm not sure how I...
But so the maximum radius to which you can send, if you let tau tend to zero, will be of the order tau to the minus one over alpha. So this means usually like your ball is bounded, but if tau tends to zero, it grows larger and larger.
And so, do some of these results extend to the case where you would have like Rayleigh fading, or?
That's a very good point. So I think Rayleigh fading could be possible. So we have these two assumptions. This one I think would be easier to remove, but the second one, it excludes the case of constant fading, and this is much more difficult to remove this. So, I would be optimistic that this could be extended actually to Rayleigh fading here, but constant fading, this would be difficult.
So I think in the interest of time, we'll take any other questions offline. We'll have a short break now. We'll come back at just 15 after the hour for two more invited talks.